And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 22nd, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 36. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in to the show, everybody. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228, but why not use the old Discord? Just sounds better through the Discord. But, you know, feel free. Whatever way you want to use it, fine. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter. You can also find us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook that way as well. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. You can find us there and join into the chat room and just talk with us live while we're on the air, or you can join us on Discord and talk to us live on the air as well. Either way gets you to us. By the way, who's in the chat room right now? Another TV viewer, Bama Brian, Commander Root, Lethal Migraine, Alicidra, I think, is the other one there. For those of you watching on Twitch, trying a new audio feed again, so... you're the only really way I can test this is by what you guys say. And then during a break, I can make a switch or a change or something if for whatever reason it's not working. So, yeah, if you hear anything strange or if it sounds better, if it sounds worse, speak up in the chat room there to let me know so that I can adjust as needed. So. Anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. Let's do some old stuff. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I mean, when we say old stuff, that's going to be me playing old stuff. That's Destiny 2 is what I'm playing. So, Halloween event's going on. The Festival of the Lost, as they're doing, which is just like, hey, here's more ways to grind in our game to just keep playing. I don't know. I'm chasing it. I don't know that I'll feel bad if I don't make it to the finish or not, but I am chasing it. There will click a moment where it feels like I'm too close now to let it get away from me, so I might as well keep going. But right now, I'm not too focused on it. I'm kind of putting that to the test. Like, let's not focus on that and see how far we get, rather than just beat it over my head doing all these things. Let's just play naturally and see how that works. Just do what you normally do and see what changes. Do what you normally do, except wearing one of their paper craft masks things that your character wears. It's all made out of paper for some reason. I don't know why they went that way, but that's fine. So yeah, I'm running around with a Halloween mask on doing all the different little things that you can. Getting candy and whatever else, and I'm just going to see how it goes. See how it goes just by not paying attention to it, really. I mean, I know it's there, so I know I need to do stuff. So I'm putting in a little bit more than what I would normally do, but I'm not doing anything specific for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Still just doing my own thing and seeing how it goes. So We'll just see. We'll see how it pans out. But anyway, did the master works with the challenge, which is the final boss kill of the raid, but on the master difficulty. Got that completed yesterday, last night, with a random group I picked up off of the LFG, just because I probably wasn't going to be able to do it tonight with our clan. And even more so, I'm kind of glad I did, because a lot of our clan is dropping like flies as far as, you know, not feeling up to doing the run tonight. So I'm glad I did it. But did that, got the ship that goes with it, and nothing special, but I got it anyway. I'm missing two more encounters that have that master challenge thing that goes with it, where, you know, everybody has to do this, blah, 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 whatever the steps are to complete the challenge. You know, do it only using rockets or something like that. I don't know. It's not, but I'm just giving you an idea.
Think how infrequent rocket ammo is in this game. No.
Yeah, I mean, so, for instance, the Oryx challenge, I don't know if you remember. You did King's Fall with us, the raid, way back when.
Yeah, I still remember that jumping challenge that messed me up.
Are you talking about the one with the ships that you had to jump on the top of?
Or no,
are you talking about in
something
the...
in the boss room where you got...
Right.
Yeah, the one where you turned...
Yep.
Basically, the group's like a random member of your group turns silver and foggy for some reason. They got to jump up and do something.
Right.
And I just kept messing up on that thing.
Yep. So that's still there. That's still a thing. Mm-hmm. But for the challenge for Oryx, it was... So whenever that happens, whenever... So like Oryx pops up in the encounter... Big, massive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Big old bat-looking creature. So he pops up at the front, or back. There's been some debate on how that's described. Is that the back of the room or the front of the room or blah, blah, blah. Won't go into it with you. Anyway, he picks a side. He goes to the left or he goes to the right, to one of those podium-type things, and slams his fist down. And when he slams his fist down, that means whoever is that little...
Tag, you're it.
Yeah, whoever's the invisible person or the one that's got the fog or the shade or whatever else, they start on that one, and then only they can see where they have to go. So when they see where they have to go, they have to tell that other person to stand on the podium wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll trigger the platforms for them to move.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, after Oryx does his fist slam, these ogres rise up out of the ground. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
So these ogres rise up out of the ground. When you kill the ogre, that will spawn... In a diagonal position across from the room from it, it will spawn a knight who comes out to go and take care of what you had just done. Mm-hmm. In other words, you killed the ogre and left a bomb there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody steps in to cause the damage phase. Don't pay attention to what I'm saying right there. That doesn't matter. The knight comes out to get rid of that bomb for you, which is something you don't want to do. You need that for the damage phase of the boss. Mm-hmm. So you have to kill your knight. Point I'm getting at is the challenge is you can't kill the same ogre in the same night twice.
Hmm.
So in other words, you kill that ogre, you kill that knight, you cannot kill those two again. Somebody else has to do that for you. You can kill the one opposite to it. You can kill any of the other ones, you know. But once you kill those, again, if the phase rolls back around, now you can't kill two of those, you know. Now there's a set that you can't kill. You got to do that, so... We did it in three phases. It was a little, it was messy, but we got it done, and we didn't fail the challenge. So, but yeah, got it done. I'm missing the first encounter with the challenge for that one, and I can't remember what it is. And then I'm missing the second encounter. There's a challenge for that one that I never got done. That was early on when the raid released. I am higher level now. I have better weapons now. So hopefully it'll go smoother once this rotates back around, which it will next week. So. But that's what I've been playing. So what about you, RJ?
Before I begin, we got a reminder in the chat room. Did you clap the board?
Oh, why? Okay, the chat room is not obviously working for me. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Let me do a reload, see if this works. There we go. Wow. All right. Nerds, good afternoon, folks. Hope you had a good day. Sounds nice. Sounds okay. Not humming that I've noticed. Hey, hey, hey.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a little hum, but just barely. That's fantastic. That's wonderful, and I hope it stays that way. Let me do this. Ow. Oh, yeah, hum is back. Wasn't there before. Never mind.
All right, great.
How bad is it, though?
Scale of 1 to 10 in terms of annoyance.
I mean, Is it something I need to change, or is it just the regular old hum? Because, I mean, if it's real bad, then let me change it. But if it's just the usual noise, then yeah, okay. That tells me, though, it's not in the headphones, because there's no... I don't hear any hum coming from my headphones. What if I turn that off? I don't think that does anything for it, but... Yeah. Okay, well, we'll just see how it goes. I'll know where I plugged it in, and then, I don't know, I'll either try another cord, maybe, cable? I don't know. This was the same cable we were using upstairs, and there was no hum upstairs.
Yeah, but that was different equipment upstairs.
I mean, same computer.
Different equipment.
I mean, different board, different everything, really, but it was same computer, same cable, so... Mm-hmm. I don't know, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, as for what I was playing, still using my fourth option in Elden Ring... My assassin, so to speak, trying to get through a certain area of the game. One of the more fun areas to do if you're watching on stream, Carriad Castle, which has all the finger creepers surrounding the area. Basically, the big
finger creepers.
Yeah, basically those spider-looking things that the hands that crawl around and attack you, big and small.
Okay,
basically look like big creeping spiders. They're the creepiest enemy in the game.
Are they like people. They like things from Adam's Family?
Yeah, but two sets of fingers on them. So the four, like, if you take your hands and thumbs and put them together like that.
Oh, so it's two hands.
It's two hands, basically, but they come to, they merge at the wrist, basically, so to speak.
Okay.
And they just crawl around, attack you, and everything like that. Yeah, not very difficult, but it's the creep factor that throws people off. And especially when they jump off walls and attack you, like, surprise, like those spiders in Resident Evil games, something like that. Watch it on stream. You'll see it on stream, and you'll see the folks' reactions. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So going through with that, and then I've been playing PGA 2K23, still shaking balls, trying to get that thing straight. A little bit of features here and there that I didn't see in the Golf Club 2019.
Yeah.
Like reading the green.
Who bought the Golf Club?
2K Sports. Yeah. It's still made by HB Studios, but. It's still but it has 2K's name on it, so now it's 2K23
gotcha.
Instead of the Golf Club 2022. But there were some features that I was noticing that was missing, or I haven't found them yet. Reading the green, after your tee shot, you know, you get on if you make it to the fairway, you know, sometimes the ground is not flat, it's not level.
Right.
Sometimes it's at an angle, and then the golf club, you could read the angle of the green, so you could determine how where you have to aim your shots at. Well, I didn't see that. In this version of the game, or like I said, I haven't found it yet, but it makes the shots a little more difficult when you don't know how the lay of the land is. So if you think you're aiming straight and then you end up being to the left of it or to the right of it because you didn't account for the lay of the land before you took your shot. I'm still trying to get used to the loft controls because I want to put backspin on a ball, but that depends on the ball that you use and the clubs that you have,
yeah,
which can be changed in the in your set at the beginning of the game. No, golf, like I was saying before, is a lot of things you have to take into consideration before every shot. So making sure you do that consistently is the key to success. But the first thing I have to do is put a lot more practice in at the driving range, because getting those shots to go straight, getting that analog stick swing to go through the target zone perfectly, that's going to take some time. And it's been a while since I played the Golf Club 2019. So I got to get that muscle memory back and get consistently in the zone and my timing down right as well. So it's just going to be, just like real golf, it's just going to be a lot of practice till I get that thing down consistently. And I can start making some good, having some good results on the course out there. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anything, no other games?
You nope, played just those two.
Just Elden Ring and golf, huh?
Right.
Interesting combination. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Elden Ring golf.
That would be difficult. Maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You could do Elden Ring putt-putt, maybe. Some miniature golf Elden Ring. I mean, the landscape seems designed for it, I suppose. The characters would be, especially old Finger Man or whatever the thing is.
Yeah, I say that. You say combination. I thought about this website or social media. I think it was on Facebook, called AI-Generated Game Covers.
Mm.
And they had some weird
I'm sure.
Combinations of
I tried to use some games on I tried to use some AI art for a couple of things. Got some weird stuff that came out of it. Not too bad. I mean, it was, you know, I just typed stuff in and it spit something out. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I've since stopped messing around with that. Number one, I ran out of uses. Then I was going to have to subscribe to it. And I just thought, nah.
I'm good. We're done. Yeah.
I'm good. Once I got to pay for it, nah. So, let's see. Do you want to? I don't know. We could wait on this. I did want to touch up. Have you been following along with the situation with the voice actress?
Yes, there's been an update and
investigations
on her claims.
There has. And so we will jump into those. This was something we brought up towards the end of last week's show. And as we talked about it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is something worth talking about. And as I read into more of it, I thought, oh, this is definitely something that we'll hit on. I even mentioned on our Twitter page or Twitter when we were when I posted the show post for this last Sunday. I said, hey, we're going to get to that topic this coming week. So wanted to mention it, although I thought it might be a longer discussion, really. We could go over the ways that these sort of things should work, but I think it all settled itself out in an interesting way, and in a way that, I don't know, credibility got shot for someone, and I'm just not, and I don't think it was intentional, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go over that. We'll go over it. We're too close to a break here to jump into it at the moment. But we will go over it. What we can talk about is that G4 TV just on Sunday got shut down a year after its relaunch. Mm-hmm. It relaunched a year ago and was then shut down. Didn't do enough. I guess it didn't do enough. I don't really know the reasons on this. But like a lot of things, the people who worked for G4 TV didn't find out it was done until it was making the news of,
someone posted on Facebook said, this is a heck of a way for me to find out that I don't have a job.
I know.
Which reminds me of what happened with, this is a local spot. Remember what happened with Buffalo Wild Wings when it was over at the Rave?
No.
The workers came in.
I knew
in.
It was there,
it
yeah.
Was, yeah. It was there. And then the workers came in one day, they got to the door and it was locked and there was a post on there that basically said it was shut down. And the workers were there. That's the first they heard of it when they came into work. They weren't notified or anything. Just suddenly, middle of the night, gone. Done.
Yeah. I mean, and by no means I mean that's a fast food place, but I mean, some places getting shut down, I can, I don't know. I don't manage a business. I don't do any of that stuff to know what it takes to do that, but.
A lot of the franchise owners, it's like differently run different ways, especially that one McDonald's is run like isn't exactly the way
that the other one,
McDonald's is run.
So. I remember that was the way Blockbuster was too, because you could franchise Blockbuster videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd go into a Blockbuster video sometime and it was completely different than some other, maybe a corporate owned Blockbuster video that you'd been into.
Yeah.
Of course, that was also when I was working for Blockbuster. But I don't know how some of those things work. I get it when some people are like, nope, we got to close and we got to do it today. And we'll reach out to people. Although that's the other thing is that when people show up to work, like you can call them the night before.
Yeah.
You can call them that morning and be like, it's because you know your staff that's coming in. Unless, of course, it is just a complete and total wipe where it's like, nope, I'm done. We're out.
Yeah.
You know, put a note on the door. I ain't calling these people. I'm not going to talk to them. And there you go.
It's like I'm thinking like some where my mind goes, like, what were you doing? Some criminal activity? You had to get out of town quick,
right?
Or something like that.
Which none of this was going on, as far as I know, with G4 TV. I mean, this is a business. This is a television studio station thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it felt. Now, I don't necessarily know if this is something that got out before they could get in touch with everybody, and that they were going to get in touch with people. I don't know. I don't know the whole specifics of it, but a lot of people found out about it through Twitter, basically, yeah. or wherever it got announced. Different news stories picking it up like that. So Lethal Migraine says, my sister has worked for two different restaurants where she showed up and the doors were closed with a note on the door saying that they were closed. Yeah.
Yeah, I would ask Lethal if you found any reasons why they shut down that quick and early.
Why
they did it in that fashion. Just cut and run. Like
or was
that.
It a situation where they never answered the phone and in the mail you got a paycheck at some point to cover whatever it was and then mm-hmm. that was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting how they have, like, I mean, I guess employees can do the same thing. Employees can cut and run, I suppose.
Yeah.
And do that. So it's interesting that a business has the ability to cut and run as well, but, like, not properly inform your employees
mm-hmm.
of that. And again, I've never run a business, so I can't necessarily say what the moral rules, I suppose, the nice thing to do, the polite thing to do, the reasonable thing to do.
Oh, yeah, for employees, it's basically the 2-week notice or something like that, but still.
Yeah. Sometimes you get those.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just stop showing up. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's go to the phones real quick, close out this segment here, and probably talk to Chris. I don't know who it is, though. Hey, who's that?
Yeah,
it's Chris.
You nailed it. Yeah, speaking of that news about her voice acting pay and everything, it was a funny story I saw from one of those satire sites on Facebook. I think it was Hard Drive, where it said, you know, Chris Pratt came out and said that Nintendo paid him more than $4,000 for his Mario voice work.
Of course they did. And we'll still see how that works out. I'm okay with it, though. I mean, every little bit that I heard from that Mario trailer, I'm perfectly fine with. But we didn't hear very much, to be honest with you. We saw more than we heard, to be honest, for everything that was involved there. And I liked what we saw, and I was okay with what we heard so far. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy with it.
Yep.
Yep, hadn't disappointed yet, so we'll see how that goes. What else has been going on for you, Chris?
Playing the same old stuff, but I got a new game. I went by the GameStop and picked up one of the ones that messed with their computer system, prevented them from shipping me one of the games I reserved, yeah. and it finally came in. So I also got another role-playing game that the guy recommended to me, so I've been playing it. I don't know, forgot what the thing was called, but it just came out just the other day, so been enjoying that one, whatever it is. It's a role-playing game kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you had to go through the same thing I did with PGA 2K23 then, right? Like it was supposed to be here on the 11th. I didn't get it till that following Friday because the situation.
That I was waiting on, I think it was the Made in Abyss game, the collector's editions, and I finally got the Nintendo Switch version that I've been waiting on for over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so funny, the number of quests I kept sent into the warehouse to send this game, they got every request that they had asked for.
Yeah. I bet they're still swamped. It's going to be,
I'd imagine,
it's going to be months, probably going to be months after this that they finally get everything sorted out, because business still has to keep going. It's not like they're going to shut down anytime soon. They can't afford that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in the room now. Now I remember I picked up the case of that game that's on PlayStation 4. It's called Maglem Lord. So far, it sounds like it's basically you're a demon lord that was taken out by the gods and demons that, like, teamed up to take you out because you were so powerful,
mm-hmm.
and your grandson revived you, and now the world is peaceful and everything, and you're an endangered species. You're the last of the demon lords in existence, and yeah, it's pretty funny. It's all voiced in Japanese and stuff, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty hilarious so far.
It sounds like a comedic version of Ashura's Wrath.
Yeah.
Like, you remember that title, don't you?
I do remember. I still have it for the 360.
It's like Ashura's Wrath was like God of War with more rage.
Oh, yeah. everything was just aggressive.
Yeah, it's like that skit, that do everything aggressively skit.
Yeah.
Basically with Ashura's Wrath. Yeah, that's basically what it was, yeah.
On a massive scale, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just this massive scale. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the over-the-topness of it and everything else. It's one of the reasons that I still have it. I really haven't played. I tried playing a lot of it, but there were so many, I don't know.
Oh, look, at this point, just go to YouTube, type in Ashura's Wrath, and just enjoy the spectacle. Because that's what it is.
It is one.
It is a good, long spectacle.
It is one, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on for you, Chris?
Not much. Just enjoying the nice weather we're finally getting, and hope it stays around this for a good while now.
Yeah,
really hope so.
that good bug killing weather.
Yeah, I know. Let's keep the bugs away. Mm-hmm. Well, take care, man. Yeah. We're going to go to a break here, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. See y'all later then.
See you, man.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Yep, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll dive into that whole voice acting thing and tell you about mm-hmm. that. Really, you know, it's an interesting story, the way it's set up, the way it went through, and then everything else that came out afterwards, and just one of those situations. And I don't know how it got there. Well, we'll talk about it. It's coming up. We got music here. All of these come from, I don't want to say Halloween-themed music, but at least have some sort of...
spooky suspense.
Yeah, spooky or Halloween or whatever. I mean, this one is perfect. It's for music from House of the Dead. Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump into that, and we'll be back right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Cuphead. It is called The Mausoleum. Thought it had a pretty good little spookiness to it.
Yeah, a little bonus stage of the game. You have to parry all the ghosts that try to take out the chalice. If you do, you get an extra power-up.
Oh, okay.
For either Cuphead or Mugman.
God, it's been forever since I've even really thought about that game, other than... I mean, the DLC just came out not too long ago.
Yeah.
What is it called? The
Golden Child? No, I'm trying to remember. No, I can't remember it myself.
Something.
The Golden Something Child.
I can't remember.
Yeah, The Delicious Last Course.
Yeah, DLC.
Yeah.
Delicious Last Course. That's what it was for. All right. So... the migraine got it right. It is Cuphead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm opening up all my links here that talk about this whole situation. What was her name? Helena? Is it Helena Taylor?
Helena Taylor.
Is that her name? Is it Helena Taylor or Helena?
There's a two L's in it.
It's two, yeah. H-E-L-L-A-N-A, or I'm sorry, H-E-L-L-E-N-A, Helena, I think it's Helena. Anyway, regardless.
Miss Taylor,
yeah. let's just call her that. She's been the voice of Bayonetta for Bayonetta 1, Bayonetta 2, she was supposed to come back and do Bayonetta 3, but she also did Bayonetta for, Smash?
Hmm.
I think she did the voice of Bayonetta for Super Smash Brothers or whichever one that Bayonetta ended up being in. As far as...
Yeah, she's done all the stuff for Bayonetta until...
Until now. Bayonetta 3, yeah. So any time Bayonetta made an appearance with a speaking role or anything like that, she was the voice behind Bayonetta. And was supposed to be the voice behind Bayonetta 3. But she... put a few videos out on Twitter just this past weekend saying that Platinum's pay offer was insulting and was also the reason for her absence in the third game. Saying, I didn't want the world, I didn't ask for too much, I was just asking for a decent, dignified living wage. What they did was legal, but it was immoral. She also called for a boycott of Bayonetta 3, suggesting fans instead donated their money to charity. I think there's reasons to boycott something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think one person being, I don't want to say one
person being under allegedly undercompensated is not reason enough to.
I don't think so.
Ban.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Especially consider all the reasons other people have asked for games to be banned or whatever.
Well, that and
that's
also
kind of, that's
that
kind of, that's kind of pales in comparison.
That
to,
and all the other people who work on video games, man. There's a lot of people that go inside. That go into. There's a lot of people who put a lot of work into video games.
Yeah.
So because that one person was slighted, I don't necessarily. Now Activision's a great example of there's a reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how many people were involved in doing it, there's a great reason to boycott a video game. For the massive amounts of sexual harassment claims throughout that company, all the little skeevy things that they were doing, everything else. It's a perfect example of there's a good reason for boycotting a game as opposed to this.
Yeah.
Not really a good reason for it. That's you know, commendable to say, okay, fine, I'll give my money to charity. You know, or something like that. If that's what you want to do, it's perfectly fine. But I don't think it should be. I don't think it should be over this. And better yet, good thing that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Considering, after she posted those videos, the executive director of Bayonetta 3. Do you know that person's name? Hideki Kamiya.
Is it Kamiya?
It's K-I-M-A-Y-A.
Kamiya.
Kamiya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hideki, I guess. H-I-D-E-K-I? Hideki. Anyway, the executive director, Bayonetta 3, went to Twitter saying, "Sad and deplorable about the attitude of untruth. That's what all I can tell now." I don't think English is his first language. But my point being is that was the response. Some people took that the wrong way. Again, this was early on, and it was also just one side of the argument. And we talked about it just at the tail end of the show. I was just getting it from you, and I'd seen some things pop up.
Saw little things from there,
but
as well.
I didn't know the details, and it was just like she was offered $4,000 for the entire game, and I thought, well, that is not really how that should work. It should be more. I would think it would be more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, you know, what I said earlier is that a lot of people, it takes a lot of people to make a video game. It also takes a lot of money. And,
it is blockbuster movie level funding on some of these things, on some of these games.
Now I've never done any kind of like voice acting or anything like that, but, I did a few things. This is goes back years ago. I did a few things for a friend of mine who was working at a marketing thing out of Texas.
Right.
And just she called me up and said, "Hey, I got this thing. Would you mind doing this? Could you do this?" And I did a couple of takes and whatever. And I said, and they're like, "Okay, how much do you want it for this?" And I'd never really done anything like this. I was like, "I don't know. Is $100 sound okay?"
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, this is a big corporation paying for this. You can get a lot more than $100 out of this. And I said, okay, how about this? And I mean, it was a very high figure. She said, that's perfect. We can do that. And it's like, oh, okay. So then she came back with another one from another big, and by a big company, I mean, the first one was Cisco Systems, I guess, was one of them. And the other one was, was it UPS?
Mm-hmm.
Was the other one? Or these are for like training videos or like cloud service videos, stuff like this.
Yeah.
And next one came through and she said, okay, what do you want? And I said, can we do the same thing? And she said, sure can. She said, you want to increase? I said, can we do this? She said, sure can. So I did. And that was 30 minutes. No, I'm sorry. Not 30 minutes. That was a 30-second, like, read.
30-second read, but how many takes?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe four.
So about 30 seconds per thing. So.
Yeah,
about 2 minutes.
I mean, yeah.
2 minutes of actual reading.
It took 5 minutes to probably sit there and do it and then go through and make my edits on it that I wanted to make and then send it off. And then it took a few days for her to get back with me and said, okay, they like this, but they want you to redo this or part, this part, this part. And so boom, 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 redid stuff. I also had to make sure it was timed to the video, which I couldn't see the video that was supposed to be over this, so I had to pace the cadence and the way I was doing the read. So that would fit in the video.
All right, you just explained why sometimes those training videos, because I've had to look at plenty of training videos in my workplace, how sometimes it's not the way this read is like off a little bit because they have to edit it like that because the voice actor can't see the video to try to.
I could not see the video. Right. The video had not even been produced yet. It was just a sense of this is what we need for this. And, you know, there was descriptions of what was going to be on screen that I could see, but that wasn't really helping me or anything. So I was just reading the stuff.
Yeah.
Regardless, it only took me a little bit of time and effort to make a lot of money for that little bit of time and effort.
Right.
So I guarantee if somebody who's doing voice acting in a professional manner, such as Miss Taylor and such as, who's the woman that took over?
Was it Jennifer Hale?
Yeah. Is it Jennifer Hale? Yeah, Jennifer Hale.
Okay.
They're pulling in a good bit amount of money for doing their voice work on these games and that sort of thing. But $4,000 for an entire game is not, like she said, a decent, dignified living wage, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, to continue on, that was pretty much it. We thought, well, this is interesting to see. She did these videos. She was very upset in the videos about it. Mm-hmm. She talked about in the videos about how much money the franchise or the games make.
Yeah.
She talked about this massive, massive number.
Mm-hmm.
That all these games that the franchise has made over the years, saying
surely
they can offer me more than this $4,000, and I want to understand, or I want you to understand, that her asking for more than $4,000, given what we knew, was not unreasonable for her to ask for that. It was also not unreasonable to think that was an insult to say, you know, here's, we'll do it for $4,000, but if you can't, never mind, go away.
Mm-hmm.
The odd thing is that if they weren't willing to pay her, and this is something I didn't think about until it kind of sat on me for a while, and when I was reading up on forums and stuff, was that they got Jennifer Hale. Jennifer Hale is more well-known than I think Miss Taylor is, and as well as has, you know, a pretty good resume of voice work under her. Video games specifically.
Yeah.
There's no way she did it for $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have offered her more. Which, again, makes you think, like, did they want her to come back?
Yeah, there was a theory going around.
Now, this is all before these other things.
This is before the investigation.
We're going to be revealed, yes.
Yeah, this is before the investigation. There were theories running around that they tried to lowball her.
Jennifer or Taylor?
Taylor.
Okay.
To get her out of there. And If that was the case, it worked.
That's the other thing. It's there are two ways of this. They were either just trying to get Taylor to quit, saying like, we'll do it for you $4,000. But what if she accepted it and they didn't want her? Mm-hmm. You know, or then again, maybe not. Maybe they thought, well, if she does it for four and we get her to do it, then boom, we're still good. Mm-hmm. We got the same voice actress from all these, you know, it's our Bayonetta girl and she's going to do it. And we're getting away paying her only $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, the upside is we get cheap. The downside is that, oh, well, we get somebody else in here and we pay them more, and then we don't have to deal with Miss Taylor anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If apparently she was hard to work with. I can't see how she did it with Bayonetta 1. They brought her back for 2. They put her on every other thing that is Bayonetta up until 3. Mm-hmm. So I can't see why they would have come to a conclusion that, boy, she's really tough to work with. Let's try and not work with her for the third installment of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. So, so yeah, there was that, and then I started thinking about it. I was like, well, Jennifer Hale cost way more than $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the point here? What happened? So anyway, this is going on for a few days. Then a report out of Bloomberg found out that two people familiar with but unauthorized to discuss private contract negotiations from Platinum Games, which is the developer of Bayonetta, claimed that the developers sought to hire Taylor for at least 5 4-hour sessions, each session paying $3,000 to $4,000. $20,000, essentially.
Yeah.
Possibly more if they needed her for more sessions.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds better than $4,000.
Yeah.
$20,000 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it could be as few as four-hour sessions or 5 4-hour sessions. Regardless, it's a lot more than just $4,000. Now, the $4,000 for each session makes you think, well, maybe Taylor had it wrong. Maybe she misunderstood. Maybe there was something lost in the translation of this. Although, again, she's worked with them for 2 games now and other things. Mm-hmm. I can't see how the translation would have been lost. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she has an agent, and they have to go through, has to go through all this stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there'd be any miscommunication here on this. While both accounts, this is from Eurogamer, by the way. While both accounts, each claiming to have reviewed unspecified documentation as part of their reports, point to a total offer of $15,000 for voicing the role of Bayonetta, Bloomberg claims Taylor's negotiating party was instead seeking a 6-figure sum along with residuals. Taylor, for her part, writing in private messages shared by VGC, video game, something that's another news site, insisted the claims she was offered more than $4,000 for the role were categorically untrue, calling the $15,000 figure touted by sources as an absolute lie and a complete joke. Then she went on to say, I'd quite like to put this in the rearview mirror and leave the whole bloody franchise behind. So I think I'll just let my video stand. I spoke the truth. So there's another situation. That's where it gets me to the whole thing about it adding up. They gave who knows how much money Jennifer Hale made. She's the replacement for Taylor.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
And I definitely agree with what you said about her going to cost more, because I'm comparing IMDb profiles for both Miss Taylor and Jennifer Hale.
Yeah,
it's like Helena Taylor has like 24 credits on IMDb, whereas Jennifer Hale has 472.
Right.
A lot of work she's put in terms of voice acting.
Yeah, she's a professional voice actor. It's what she does. That is what she does for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I know now Taylor does voice acting, not necessarily, I don't want to say it's on the side, but she does do voice acting, but mainly I think she does stage acting.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a stage actress and does that for most of it. So anyway, going back to that point, was they hired Jennifer Hale over Taylor. Hale right. costs a lot more than Taylor. So the offer of $4,000 seems a little odd.
Mm-hmm.
Then once these documents came out, or once the word that these documents existed that mm-hmm. proved that Platinum offered her what she actually wanted, but she countered with a 6-figure request and residuals to go with it. Her response to that was, all of that's a lie, but I'd really like to just leave this in the past and not deal with it anymore.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to put out a video that says, please boycott the game. And then somebody says, yeah, but we got these papers here that says this is not what happened. What you said happened didn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a lie, but I'd really rather not talk about it anymore. I'd like to leave it behind me and never deal with it again. What?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's where her credibility comes into question.
Yeah.
Now, I fully believe that when she made that, I don't think there's anything. I don't know. I don't know the woman. So I've never met either of them. Who did I? Claudia Black is who I met. I'm like, what? There was a voice actress that I met. Who was it? Claudia Black.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know her, so I don't know that she. I just don't feel that she has any sort of like ulterior motive to like. I'm going to create this thing where they offered me this little bit. Now that they've hired this Jennifer Hale woman, and I'm gonna, they did me wrong, and I'm gonna get out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she had that in her. I legit believed that she thought this was the offer, or that somebody in the chain of command here came back to her and said, sorry, Taylor, they're gonna offer you $4,000. That's it. They're not gonna, she mm-hmm. either wasn't aware that this 6-figure thing was countered,
mm-hmm.
or she was given the wrong information
it could be false information. Yeah. They supposed to say 4,000 per session, but then when it said 4,000, that was a possibility.
Something was missed.
Yeah, something was lost in there.
Yeah, something.
But then, like you said, you've done two games, a movie, and other games where she was featured in, and now,
I know
you have an error in communication with a payment.
That's where it all sat. And the so you know, the Twitter twerps dogpiled on Hale, as well as the producer or the
yeah.
whoever Kim, whatever his name is, Hideki. They dogpiled on Hideki,
yeah.
saying that you're mistreating this person. This was before all this stuff came out. They also went after Jennifer Hale because she's the replacement, which is the stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah,
it's not
like
she had anything to do with it.
She was offered a job after the fallout with
Ms.
Morgan.
She wasn't involved in any of this. She just offered a job.
She was offered a job.
Or a job was out there and she applied for it and that's it. It had nothing to do with...
Heck, Taylor said in her video.
She
takes the job. It's not, I have no problem with that. She took the job. It was offered to her. Have at it. So,
yeah, she did say something. Taylor did say something. I don't know that it was in the video.
Hmm.
She did call out Hale, but I don't know when this was.
Okay.
Yeah, this was something written, or I don't think it was anything that was in that video. It could have been something to the effect of she was very arrogant about the fact that nobody else has the right to call themselves Bayonetta. I am Bayonetta. Very, you know,
okay.
Very big-headed type of thing is what I got. But I still don't get that. I feel like there was some sort of miscommunication. And I would love to hear what that was. I would love to know that. But her whole situation of, I just don't want to talk about this anymore. I'd like to leave it behind me. After putting out a really emotional video and saying, I was screwed over. Wouldn't you want to get to the bottom of that? Wouldn't you want to get some resolution out of that?
I would think so, yes.
But it just I would like it now. I would like to know how that whole situation happened.
Yeah.
She quoted the sales figures of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, and I've been following a forum that's kind of been talking about this, or a thread on a forum that's been talking about this. And somebody went to VG Charts or something, video game, I don't know what it is. It gives you some numbers on charts. It ain't the most reliable thing. But they happened to go there, and they were looking at Bayonetta 1. They were looking at sales of Bayonetta 2 and all the other different things like that. And when they did some strange math with it, which is completely a way that you could look at it, the total came up to around the figure that she quoted. But when you really focused in on what these numbers were showing, it was a miscalculation. That anybody could have done when they looked at the sales charts and that sort of thing and said, oh, well, if it sold that many at this price, then here's the thing. And it wasn't taking into account other factors that go into it or anything like that. Mm. And you just add those things up when you weren't supposed to do any of that. I don't know how it all worked, but the number they got was very close to the number she gave. And that's a miscalculation. Whether it be on her part or her people's part, because I got to figure she didn't do any of this. I got to figure her reps or somebody looked these things up and gave her the information. Maybe. I don't know. Because none of us know. Who encouraged her to make the video? You know, did anybody encourage her? Did she just do it of herself? Again, everything I get from her, Taylor, feels like... Not that she was pushed into doing this, but somehow encouraged to do it. I don't know by who.
Or some knee-jerk reaction to the price.
A quick reaction, maybe. I don't know. It just seems odd. Why would you? And the other part is, why wouldn't you question that? Rather than offer, again, if this is just her dealing with it, why would you get offered the $4,000 and then not say, what?
$4,000, are you sure?
Like, what did you pay me for 1 and 2? Why isn't it that number? You know, unless that number was $4,000 for 1 and 2, which seems odd again.
Mm-hmm.
So if she got paid for that and then they come back and say, we're going to do it again for this one, why wouldn't she?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did she ever mention how much she was paid for 1 and 2?
No.
Or, yeah, nothing like that. No. Okay. So.
But I got to figure it's more than this if she's complaining about this.
Yeah.
Or in her video, she would have said something to the effect of, so far it's been 4,000, but the success, it should move up.
Because I'm wondering if the same pay structure they allegedly claim Matt offered her was done the same way for the first two games or anything like that.
I have no idea.
We don't know.
No, I have no clue. I really don't. I feel like other parties are involved, and they're not speaking up, obviously, but I feel like other people are involved in this, her reps and her managers, negotiators, whatever it says in the in the story there. I just feel like something was lost in translation there, that she got fed the wrong information, or somebody did, or somebody reached a little too high, aimed a little too high for a counter offer, and when it was like, no, we just ain't going to do that, they said, well, then you don't get her. And which, by the way, they did offer her $4,000 for a cameo. Once they hired Hale, they offered her $4,000 to do a cameo part, voice part in there. I have no idea what the amount of sessions it would have taken, probably just one, and probably wouldn't have been a four-hour session to begin with. Probably would have been something very small. But they did offer that to her, and she... Or somebody on her team, I hate to keep throwing her at it, but somebody turned that down as well. But she did get offered $4,000 for a cameo part, which again goes back to this whole, is that what she was quoted as? The $4,000 for the cameo? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then for her not to come back and well, for her not to kind of update and say, oh, there was just, everything's cool. Well, the game's been voiced. It's all over with now.
Yeah.
It releases when?
It's coming out like in a week, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, it comes out next month? November?
I think it was...
Or is it October?
I think it's this month.
I mean, there's only a, you know, what, less than 10 days?
Because
less than 10 days.
We were questioning the timing of this whole story coming out. October 28th.
Okay,
initial release date, October 28th, yeah.
That's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So, and you still don't have a Switch, do you?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
There's at least two Bayonetta games now on there.
Yeah.
But that would be the only thing that you would want to play. Literally,
one game is not going to make me buy a system.
I know.
No matter how much I like the game, I'm not doing it.
I got you. Anyway, that's where it stands with that whole Bayonetta voice thing.
Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of, it's a lot of information that we'd like to have, we won't. Probably most likely will not be getting, so it's just open for speculation everywhere. So,
I know, and her quick duck out of this, her quick of like, I'm done talking about it.
Does someone
real sketchy?
Does someone higher up, what's that saying? You'll never work in this town again.
I know, right?
That type
She's
of thing.
Like, I'm just going to shut up.
If you keep this up, you're never going to work in this town again. Someone can't do that.
Well, see, that's the situation. Now that she's kind of blown that out of whatever she's done, you know, other people can look at that and be like, I don't want to deal with that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go through that. So let's get somebody else.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
We probably won't see.
We'll probably never know, but it's already been done. At the time she put the video out was just last week. The game comes out next Friday, so the voice part was done. Why she waited until now to do this and not
like I said, the timing was suspect because of the imminent release of the game. You think about this instead of
why wouldn't have you thought about it whenever the deal was going on? And once it came to light that it's like, oh, I'm not getting this part, somebody else is going to get it. Well, I should put a video out there to tell them about this, which would have been done. I mean, I think voice sessions for video games like this probably happen very early on, extremely early on.
Yeah, it's like you said with your voice work. The script was written before the video was produced, so maybe that was it.
Well, I mean, when you think about mocap sessions for other video games and stuff, that's the actors already in their parts and they're doing these, and that's creating these stick figure type things
to put everything else over.
So it's early in development of the game for these things to get done. So I don't know.
I'm just still thinking Max Impact because the game is anticipated to be out in 2 weeks and this happens.
But what did you think you were going to accomplish? Do you really think you were going to accomplish a boycott? And if you knew that stuff was out there, which apparently she didn't, or she didn't think people would find or know about. You didn't think that was going to come to light when you call it? If you're calling out that specific number of this happening, You don't think they're going to counter that? Or they're going to, or something's going to say, hey, we, no, 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 we didn't offer you that. This is what we got. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
I feel like she didn't know any of this stuff. I don't know. I don't know. So anyway, we're going to take a break here because we need to. We're at the top of the hour. So when we come back, we'll jump back into more of the news here on In-Game Chat. Music now from Scorn, which came out last week. Reviews for this thing are all over the place.
Mixed, to be generous.
I mean, so divisive, I suppose. I don't know. It ranges from the nines all the way to fours and threes.
I'm thinking one star, five star, that type of level of disparagement.
I mean, yeah,
the thing.
It's really pulled in a bunch of numbers. From the top to the bottom. Yeah. It's pulled in a lot of different numbers as far as what people like and don't like about it. If I could skip the combat, I think I'd be cool with it. But I hear the combat is atrocious and is one of the worst parts of the game. They kind of pull you out of everything else that you've been enjoying, and then, yeah. So, all right. So this is called Morphic Echo from Scorn. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Mario Party 10, the Haunted Trail theme. Putting that theremin to work. And harpsichord, too. Sounds like. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We got a few callers calling in here. In fact, both lines are lit up. And I know Biloxi Gambler's on this one, and he wanted to continue talking about, I think, the voice actor situation there. Hey, man.
Yes, I'd like to. Yeah, that was pretty scary for Mario Brothers, I'm going to tell you. I was scared. the thing is, the lady, she was in number one, the first one.
Right.
She was in the second one.
Right.
She's probably thinking, now I get paid. There's no way they're going to dump me and go with anybody else. And she hit them for some big cash, and they're like, no, you're not worth that.
You know, well, yeah, because the counteroffer shows that she wanted six figures and residuals.
And residuals, yeah.
Well, see, she overplayed her hand. Now, as far as you and your voiceovers.
Yeah.
All right. Anytime you're a bad negotiator, anytime...
I'm very bad, yeah.
Anytime somebody tells you, you know, on what they're going to pay you, how much do you want, and then you give them a price, and they go, oh, no, come on, dude, you got to ask for a lot more than that. And,
you need to go balls to the wall then.
you need to get, well, you do need an agent for stuff like that that knows what they're doing. I used to be in that business, not voiceover, I was a comedian, but I had DePerna and DePetta and Rousman and Goldberg and Greenberg and Sobel and, you know, different booking agents, right?
Yeah.
And, so anyway, I was Italian when I needed to be, and I was Jewish when I needed to be, and I'm neither one. I just have brown hair and a tan. But they kept me working for 8 years. Hey, listen, I'm working with this guy, and he wanted to do voiceovers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all he wanted to do was voiceovers. He was a stand-up comic, right? Great guy. He's out of Syracuse, New York. And anyway, and he would do a lot of voices that he made up, okay, on stage. And, and I thought, well, you know, these little silly, stupid voices, they're not going to go anywhere. He turned out to be the voice of something called SpongeBob SquarePants. I mean, he is mega, mega rich. I've never seen an episode of SpongeBob. I think I'm outside the age group, the demographic. But anyway, it was very successful. So anyway, it's a story of my life. I always picked the wrong bet. Anyway. Enjoying the show, guys. We'll talk later.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Take care. Great little story there.
Yeah.
I don't know who... hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me. It's Chris again.
Oh, hey, man. What's up?
I wanted to try to get you during the break, but about Scorn, I saw a video where it looks like you can... About 90% of the encounters you can avoid, if they don't detect you, they'll eventually walk away and go out of the area where you don't have to engage them.
Well, good. I mean, I actually haven't started playing it yet, but if that's something I can do, or I can just kind of sit back and let them go away.
Yeah, I think there's certain encounters where you have to fight things, but the random encounters throughout the stages and stuff, supposedly, you don't have to. I've seen video footage and stuff, and one of the videos somebody was telling, you know, you're doing this wrong. You don't have to involve yourself with these encounters, that they'll do their own little thing. If they haven't seen you, just, you know, leave them alone.
Hmm. All right. Well, it's free on Game Pass. I say it's free. I mean, obviously, I pay for a subscription, but it's on Game Pass, and so I just may give it a whirl anyway and get to that point and see how well it works, whether I engage or not.
Yeah, since I didn't have the capabilities of playing it or getting it, I just watched a full playthrough, and for the puzzles and all the scenery and stuff, it looks pretty cool. But I liked it for, you know, being able to watch somebody play through it, but. Also, I forgot about this earlier, but happy belated birthday to you, Scott.
Oh, thanks, man. That was Tuesday. Yeah, it was this past Tuesday.
I almost wanted to call in that morning and all and sing happy birthday to you, but I know you hang up on me in a split second, so...
I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. I promise you I would not. So next time, feel free to do it.
It was during the middle of random facts and everything, but I was driving at the time. So anyway, well, happy birthday to you, and we'll see y'all later.
All right, dude. Take care.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Yep.
Are you like me with birthdays now?
Do what now?
You're like me with birthdays now? Yeah, just another day now?
For me.
At this point?
Yeah, for the most part.
Happy birthday to you.
We'll make a big deal out of, like, you know, when you turn 50. And like, we'll hit the...
50.
We'll hit those, you know, 50, 60, 70, you know, whatever. Maybe. Yep. We want to make a big deal out of any of them, to be honest with you.
I was thinking about something that Biloxi Gambler talked about when he said the agents or whatnot. You said it's possible the agent... Do agents overplay their hand sometimes?
Certainly.
Think about that.
Certainly, I think that they would. I mean, I don't ever have an agent, but I would imagine they would try. They would do what's best for their client.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if they thought they could do that, if they thought they could get more something for their client, then they would. Now, I don't necessarily.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, would they do that without their client's
without
notice?
Like discussing it with them? You know,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we just talked about businesses that close up without telling their employees. So
yeah,
that's
true.
I don't see why an agent wouldn't do the same.
Yeah.
But you know, it could have been this case too, where she saw that, look, this franchise is making a ton of money, so at least give me six figures in residuals off of it.
Yeah.
But still, that just... And then the desire, see, that's the other part. Like, she puts the video, and I don't want to keep talking about this, but she puts the video out in tears, talking about what they offered her.
Mm-hmm.
Either she was blatantly lying with that offer, or she truly believed that's exactly what they offered her, and somewhere she was told wrong. But then, once that comes out, and she says, I don't want to talk about it anymore, I want it all behind me, that makes you look suspicious.
Yep.
Looks very suspect that you just did that. Not wanting to either say, no, here's what I have. See, like, that's the thing. Bloomberg found these documents, or whoever they talked to and saw these documents. So Platinum Games has the receipts. Where's hers? Where is her documentation, or at least something to back up what she is saying?
Mm-hmm. Where's your proof? Where's your proof?
You know, I'm not one to always side with the big corporation type situation, but no, mm-hmm. this is perfectly fine to side with them in this regard.
Yeah.
Because they've got the evidence. There's nothing there from her. And her quick exit of it, may, just like I said, that kind of puts a little bit more shade on the situation. Like, what? Why? So, yeah. Don't know. Let's see. What do we got here? Super Game Sniper. It's kind of neat seeing OBS running. Oh, running behind. Yeah. That's, you know, we didn't have this issue back upstairs because the way the TVs were positioned.
Right.
And we got a TV over here where my, yes, there. We got a TV over here to my right, but there's no, I can't, the computer's on this side of a very large desk and I can't get the connections and everything else. So it actually has to be the picture over there.
Yeah.
Besides, if it was behind, if our pictures were on this TV, we wouldn't be able to watch our football. or golf, or whatever happens to be on
mm-hmm.
the station over here.
Yeah,
currently watching LSU impressed against Ole Miss at the moment. Somebody's undefeated is about to get a...
Someone's O is about to go.
Yeah, huh? Exactly. I guess. It's still third, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we have? Let's see. Da-da-da-da.
We saw pickleball on that game one time.
Super Game Sniper, I'm saving up for a PS5, never buying an Xbox because of the DRM nonsense they pulled back at E3. I don't necessarily know that's... I mean, that was a mini E3 ago. That was back for the Xbox One. When it came with a Kinect. When that whole situation happened back at E3. I guess, if that's the one you're talking about. You know, they've since released more consoles than that, and they've also kind of reversed course on that sort of thing. I feel like, man, this is just opinion. So, I mean, you can have your own issues with whatever you want to do. It depends. But I feel like Microsoft is a better option for people who... maybe don't have specific kind of games that they really like.
Mm-hmm.
They're very open to many different types of games. So with the Game Pass option that Microsoft offers, they have so many choices to pick from, genres to choose from and that sort of thing and to go in that direction. Again, though, I got to hand it to Sony when they do their first-party titles. I mean, God of War hits November 9th. So that's coming up, and that's something I'm looking forward to. The problem with that is while their in-house work, Last of Us, Uncharted, God of War, stuff like that, while their in-house stuff is really spectacular, it's very, very good, it's so few and far between. It's so spaced out, man. I mean, February we had Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any... Now, then we got whatever this Last of Us Part 1 remake thing was. We got that, too.
Yeah, that was a problem, having remakes.
Yeah, I don't want to...
In between AAA releases.
Right. So let's put those aside for a second.
Yeah.
Because let's not even count those. Let's talk about original releases. Yeah. You had the PS5 launch. You had Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. And you had... Well, I can't throw Dark Souls in there, even though it was a completely ground-up remake.
Yeah,
I'm not going to throw that in there. But Miles Morales is more of a expand alone than it was brand new type of thing.
Yeah.
It's very short. So it's hard to include that. It was still quality, but it's very short. The Spider-Man game that it's attached to type of thing is a very, very good, decent game there, exclusive to Sony. Then Horizon Forbidden West in February. Now, there may be something in between Horizon Forbidden West and God of War coming out now that was from Sony that you can throw at me and say, well, they did release this, and that's fine. I'm not remembering what it was, and maybe there's something in there that can tell me. Did anybody see anything?
I was looking at a list of stuff.
First-party titles is tough, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, Last of Us Part 1, that was a remake.
See, I'm not throwing that in there.
Forspoken?
That's not out yet.
No?
No.
Upcoming.
Yeah, that's not out yet.
God of War Ragnarok.
That's November 9th.
Upcoming. I'm just saying upcoming.
Yeah. Forbidden West was in February.
Marvel's Spider-Man 2 or
right. That'll be sometime next year. Wolverine.
To be determined. Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
To be determined. Knights of the Old Republic remake. Never mind. VR exclusive of Horizon Call of the Mountain. To be determined.
I don't even want to throw VR in there because that's peripheral type
okay,
thing.
Let's see.
It's like saying, well, it's a Kinect game and then this sort of thing. But my point being, yeah, and you're helping me with that, is that they released an in-house, you know, one of their titles in February and then another one of their titles in November. Mostly, that's all they've got are their first-party things, because if it's not exclusive to Sony's platform, yeah, then it's also on Xbox.
Okay. Yeah, here's all the current playable PS5 exclusives. Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls Remake, Destruction All-Stars, Death Stranding, Director's Cut, Deathloop, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Integrate, Ghostwire Tokyo, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, Returnal, Sackboy, A Big Adventure. And a lot of parentheses next to these things are also available on PC, also available on PS4. So mm-hmm, that's a lot of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, previous gen, that sort of thing.
Exclusive type things, yeah, on that, yeah. So.
I mean, I get it. But anyway, my point being is that, and I'm still reading through this chat room here of what he said, saving up for a PS5. Mm-hmm. JD1 Stunner says he definitely hears the hum now. Yeah, I know. E3 2013 is when it happened, but it was hilarious when Sony just showed a video where you could let your friend borrow the disc to play a game. But you can still do that, man. You totally can still do that, but whether it be Sony or Microsoft. Even, let's see, Lethal Migrant says, even most games you don't play online need to check in online these days. A game like Hitman is only useful as long as the servers are on. That's true.
Yeah. Or PlayStation, you want to, got to have your subscription service to play online, if you want to play online. Fighting games, in my case, you've got to be a PS Plus member to play competitively online.
Yeah, says, Super Game Sniper says, nah, I've been on the Nintendo bandwagon for so long, then upgraded to PlayStation. I like having a dedicated device for gaming that isn't going to cost me $2,000 or $4,000 in PC parts and stuff. That must have been a response to somebody saying PC is better than any console.
If it's up to snuff, yeah.
I don't know, $2,000 to $4,000 is a beast of a PC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're going to get some great performance out of that, but
how long?
You're also overspending, I would think,
for how long,
on
though?
That. For how long?
Yeah.
The
absolute best of parts.
I think you could get 15 years out of that.
Really?
I really do.
15 years.
On a $4,000 PC?
On a $4,000, all the best parts of the box itself?
I think you could easily get 15 years out of that.
Okay.
And I could, and somebody's like, what? No, you couldn't. I mean, I kept my PC for almost 15 years with the switching out of just one graphics card. Mm-hmm. And I only did that, probably 10 years into it.
Mm-hmm.
And still kept the processor, the power supply, the RAM, and everything else was all still the same. And I mean, it was a good 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, you could probably, since you're buying the higher end parts, you could probably get it to go even longer than that if you needed to.
So
maybe a switch out of a graphics card, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what you would get with that $4,000 as far as a graphics card, which graphics card right now is going to take up the $4,000.
It's going to be a chunk.
But in any other world where the graphics cards had reasonable prices and you were still spending $4,000 on a PC like that, then You may need to upgrade the graphics card, maybe towards the tail end. Given what they can do now, I think you'd be pretty safe. To keep going with what you've got for a good while. Really believe that. I think so. But
so if you're not the type to worry about tip-top of the line performance over that span of time, because it will gradually dip a little bit, not by much, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to have, if you don't absolutely have to have tip-top performance, you can extend it. You can extend it.
Yeah,
extending a lot of parts. Though.
My i7 3300K or whatever it was for IBM, I think that's what it was. That's the processor. That was a beast, man. That just was taking everything I was throwing at it.
Yeah.
It really was. Now, yeah, it moves slow on like rendering videos and things like that, or loading in audio when I was doing big audio edits. It would load that in slower. Actually, it would load it in still faster than what we have here. But it was still it was slower than what it does now with an upgraded processor. But again, that was about 10 to 15 years or so.
Yeah.
It held strong. It held very strong.
Yeah.
Basically, I was looking at games I wanted to play, and I was seeing what the requirements were to run them. And outside of needing to run them at mid to low settings, there was no problem.
Yeah.
So I didn't see the point in needing to do the expenditure on doing that until it came time where it's like, okay, it's time to build a new PC.
Yeah.
Because I'm way behind.
It's like when it comes to building PCs for me, it's like I'm not traditionally a PC gamer. So yeah. I don't really have to have top line performance. I can get mid and be fine.
Yeah, you really can.
But in terms of for me, though, since I'm not a big gamer, my PC can last double digit years for me because I don't do a lot of gaming on it anyway. Just for simple basic process and storage. I'm focused on storage more than anything else for me. So. The only thing I worry about really is storage capacity for files and movies and things of that nature.
Right.
Because that's my thing. So that's not really.
But if you're spending $4,000 on a PC, you're going to have a lot of hard drives in there. And you can have some very, very big hard drives in there.
Yeah,
now, here's the problem. Right. See, there's the problem. You just spent $4,000 on a PC at any one point. Now, let's also say that you just spent $500 on a new console, be it a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, which are running $500 each.
Right.
Those have just as much of a chance to just fail on you as the PC that you just spent $4,000 on.
Yeah.
But the problem is if your console fails on you, more than likely the console's bust.
Mm.
If your PC fails on you, there's probably just a specific part that needs to come out and get replaced. I mean, my graphics card caught on fire. All I needed to do was pull the graphics card out and put a new one in.
Yeah, your car turned old sparky all of a sudden.
Well, also the power supply died as well, so I had to replace that.
Yeah, I had that thing before.
But I didn't have to replace everything in the build, just those two things.
Yeah.
I've seen take-aparts for a console,
especially for the PS4. Like the cleaning out aspect, the blowing the dust out. I mean, it's like just disconnect this, disconnect that.
That's
A lot of screws to deal with, but your fan, your power supply, your hard drive. The hard drive is like the first thing people take out of that thing because it's so low capacity anyway.
That's fine. But the hard drive, if it fails, you can replace that. If the fan fails,
you can buy a replacement.
Can you buy replacement fans for the console?
Yes.
Okay.
For the PS4 anyway.
Gotcha. If the graphics card on it has an issue, that's a little tougher because those are specifically made for those systems. So unless somebody's got a surplus of extra graphics cards that fit inside the shell, the PS4, PS5, Xbox, whatever, then you're kind of out of luck if that fails on you. And I'm sure you can find parts online.
You can probably find parts there. There are stores that sell, like the place I see where the fan is at.
I wonder what they cost. Well, not the fans, but the graphics cards. I'm curious.
Well, imagining supply and demand logic with that, you know, who's supplying them and making them and whatnot, and
I've never really given that thought, but
compared to a PC, probably higher than normal.
I would think so because they're specially built,
specially made.
And somebody had to have bought this console or had a console brought into them that nobody wants anymore, and they took that part out and they start selling the parts separately.
Yeah, I mean, watching a full teardown and rebuild of a PS4 just for cleaning, looking at how the parts were come out and whatnot, it can be done, but it's going to be tedious.
Yeah.
If you can build a computer, especially working your hands in those narrow spots that they got in there, you can do it, but it's going to take some time. And yeah, please have a spot for your screws if you do this, because there's a lot of screws to be involved in taking this thing apart and putting it back together.
Yeah. Thar66 says 10 years for sure. I bought a good PC in 2011 and it's still ticking. Not for games, though. let's see. Super Game Sniper. It's just me, but I sort of like being able to just spend $500 or so on a console, then get the games. Just a fraction of the cost. And that's perfectly fine, dude. There's no problem in that. Understand me sitting here telling you about this PC situation. Also understand that I've got a PS5 and an Xbox and a Switch sitting in the other room. So regardless of what gets released where, I got my bases covered. Yeah. So it's harder for me to throw out all these things since I have my bases covered. Whereas if you're only doing the PS5 Switch thing, then you got to hope for these things to kind of be ported over or whatever.
Yeah. In my case, I'm hoping Bayonetta comes on PC someday.
I know, right?
Hopefully one day it will.
Well, Bayonetta is on PC.
I mean, 2 and 3.
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to be your biggest problem.
Yeah. Probably won't.
The fact that Nintendo owns them.
Yeah, probably won't. But if it does, I've got a system that can handle it. Or if it doesn't, I can get the parts by the time it does.
I can almost tell you, as long as they keep making Bayonetta games, Nintendo ain't letting go. Because every time a new game, like Bayonetta 3, is probably boosting sales of a Switch, of Bayonetta 2 and the original Bayonetta as well, it's probably those games are probably, and those products are probably getting boosted in sales because of this pending release. And so they're like, well, yeah, we should keep this, because the next time we do 4, then we've got 1, 2, and 3 out there to boost sales again, because it's put a resurge in the franchise for it and that sort of thing. I don't know, that's just me.
But it's like I said, it probably won't, but if it does, I've got a system that can handle it.
Yeah.
And I'll fix it later. Fix it up to do so.
Let's see. 476 Xbox Game Pass games right now. 458 games on PC. For me, all I know is that Microsoft's Xbox has Halo. I don't even know what other exclusives they have. We could do a rundown, but JD1 Stunna says, PC monitors are another beast and can drive your cost up. Pretty comparable to a TV, though. Yeah, that is.
Yeah. I remember going to, I went to Micro Center with a buddy of mine, and I saw those monitors out there. My goodness, the range of prices and what those things offer, really.
The range of monitors, not just the pricing, but the range of the like, all right, this size with this frame rate, with this FreeSync and G-Sync, and then this thing. There's a massive, then you can go ultra-wide, super ultra-wide.
Yeah, I saw one of those ultra-wide curved monitors. My goodness, man.
Yep.
I mean, that was about the length of that section of your desk over there.
I know. Very big. It's very big.
I'm like, ain't no desk fitting that.
The weird thing is that I've seen Destiny, screenshots from Destiny as played on a super wide that. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
The HUD doesn't even expand to the outer side, you know?
Yeah, but you literally have to turn your head to see stuff on that thing. Or unless you sit a ridiculously far distance back from the thing.
Totally. I'm watching somebody pull in with a big vehicle now, pulling in next to my car.
Pulling in or trying to pull in?
Nah, he's taking it slow. It's his first time driving this thing. He's doing good. He's a lot of a lot of stop start going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope this dude's coming over to guide him.
Oh well, maybe that's not him. I thought it was him.
Okay.
Never mind. Doesn't matter.
Sorry. Live action parking next to your next to your nice looking vehicle out
there. I know, just like, hey, now be careful. Number one, station vehicle. Number two, my car.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the chat room here. This is even more fun. Let's see. Bama Brian, I bought an original Xbox, but I only had dial up and no friends, so I ended up selling it. JD1 Stena, I have a 49-inch Samsung curved gaming monitor rotting right now. I prefer this 43-inch Asus gaming more square, sort of old school. I've got a 27-inch Acer or Asus. I can't remember which brand.
I know I got an Asus. Which is something, yeah.
Yeah, whoever does the Predator gaming line of things, that's who it is. And it served me very well. It's a 1440p. that's it. I'm not interested in moving into 4K for my computer games, only for the fact that that's going to require an upgrade.
Yeah.
Like if you want to go 4K, and again,
it's like my case looking for a TV 4K.
How did that go?
I was doing a lot of research on some of these things, man. It's like 120 hertz is what I was looking for.
We were in the parking lot last week. Was it last week or the week before?
A couple weeks ago,
we were in the parking lot after the show, and he says he was going TV shopping, which perked my ears up because that's always a good thing. And I was curious what you went. Every time I see deals on TVs, I'm like, I need to tell RJ, and then I'm like, he's probably already got what he wants.
No, he's probably not into this. I'm still researching stuff because I keep finding different routes to go to, and the prices are like fluctuates. Like this last week it was this, and then this I found something better for a lower price. We're way too late
in the year for you to be buying something before Black Friday, man.
Yeah, but you
may need it before Black Friday, but if you haven't bought it yet, keep waiting because the prices will come down.
Yeah, but. I'm worried about because I'm not going physically out shopping on Black Friday. I'm not doing that. I did that once. That's the last time I'm gonna do it. But that leave me alone.
No! You don't have to go out. You can do these things online. Dude.
Shipping, yeah.
A lot of them, by the way, just to tell you, you don't have to wait until Black Friday. There's a certain point, probably coming up pretty soon, where the Black Friday prices on a lot of the items just go right into effect. There's no rush.
Yeah.
Now, if you want some of those doorbuster type prices, you're going to have to show up. But honestly, the TVs I bought so far have never been one of those where I got to wait outside for the store to open. Mm-hmm. The prices have already been adjusted, and I was ready to go then. On the big Samsung LED that I bought, or LCD that I bought, I don't know, many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
That was during a Black Friday sale, but it was early in November.
Mm-hmm.
Then the OLED that I got, the recent one that I got now, the LG OLED, that was also the price has already been adjusted and we've got them. So you can find some before. You don't have to wait till then.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to wait. Anyway,
yeah.
Speaking of, by the way, that should go for everybody. We're getting into Black Friday season, if not already there. I don't have a list of games or products or anything like that yet, but we are sure to get them. So games that are releasing now, unless you really, really want them, you may want to hold off because they're probably going to drop in price. I'm kind of keeping an eye, and I'm actually not. But
we've seen plenty of examples of games that were top tier $60 at launch, and then all of a sudden,
Guardians of the Galaxy, a week after
they're released, the price is dropped, cut in half.
Guardians of the Galaxy released in September. By November, it was down to $25.
Mm-hmm.
It was a full price $60 game.
Yeah.
And I got the $90 or $80 collector's edition thing from, I don't know, Walmart or something for $25.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic game. So I'm looking to do the same thing, I think, with Gotham Knights, because that has been a stinker. Of every single review I've read, nobody has really good things to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good things, like, hey, I like some of the story here going on, but that's... I was watching a review this morning while I was exercising. Somebody had played it and said that it felt... We've got to take a break. Somebody said, it feels like this game was built as a live service game. Like, does somebody feel... You know, like you're leveling up. Like there was supposed to be some monetization or some loot boxes or some way that all that was supposed to be incorporated. But then when Avengers released and got... bogged down in all that stuff and the sales were horrible because of it.
Yeah.
They were like, all right, take all of that out. But the mechanics seem to be left in where you're leveling up your characters and the RPG system of it or where you open up skills and all this other sort of thing. All the different currencies that are available for your character that goes into the weapons and costumes and skills and all this other stuff. Feels like all of that was left in. They just turned off the live service part of it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the enemies have health bars, every single enemy has health bars. There's sections of the game that you can't get to yet, or that you can get to, but you're so underleveled that you need to avoid, which is how they time gate, or they gatekeep on
it. The way you described it is, I'm thinking about Arkham Knight, like, or Arkham City, something like that. Sections of the island you can't get to yet until you get to a certain point or level.
Well,
up
no,
your character.
They locked those sections off because you couldn't get to them yet. You didn't have the tools, like you didn't have the unlocked things to get to those parts of the island. That's not like this in Gotham Knights.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be progressing a story, And that story will send you to a section of where you need to go. But the enemies are so high level that it would be very, very tough for you to fight them.
Too powerful, yeah.
So you have to stop that quest, go into the street, and do a bunch of...
side missions.
Just side quests to do your leveling up, then come back to it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just... It sounds horrible. So that's something where it's like, it's a Batman game and I really want to play it, but everybody says no, and I really should listen to everybody. Everybody says no, so I'm thinking, you know, Black Friday rolls around and that thing pops for $20. I might be in.
Yeah.
You know, I might be in. Yeah. So we'll see. We've got to take a break here. I keep wanting to read everybody's comments here, but we're way behind. This comes from Kingdom Hearts 2. It's called The Spooks of Halloween Town. It's just basically... You'll hear it. You know it. You know what it is. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to the show. We don't have a lot of time. This is music from Maple Story. It's called The City of Dreams. It does have to do with Halloween, but I know Maple Story nor City of Dreams really throws that Halloween at you, does it?
Yeah. Tim Burton-y.
But it gives a very, it gives a very Danny Elfman vibe here. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back. By the way, the next track we've got comes from a friend of the show, Gareth Coker, who composed for Ori and the Blind Forest and Will of the Wisps. And what was the other thing he did? The Mean Greens, which I really loved his score for Mean Greens. It was really good. But he also got that big Minecraft gig and started doing all the music for Minecraft games. And... yeah, so that's what we've got. It's Happy Halloween from Minecraft that's going to close out the show. We didn't get to anything else. We went to the chat there and just went down the row of everybody talking about that, and that's perfectly fine. I'm more than happy to do that. If you guys ever want to jump in the Discord and just have a big round... In fact, RJ ain't going to be here tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. He's not going to be here next weekend.
I will not be here tomorrow. Yeah.
So I'll be hitting up Matt and I'll be hitting up James, and if any one of them want to just join in. But if you guys want to pop into Discord and just nice and chat it up, more than happy to accommodate for that next weekend. So we'll just keep going. Super Game Sniper said, I plan on picking up a couple of games for Black Friday if they have sales. I'm looking for the Capcom Fighting Collection, Sonic Origins, and Chrono Cross. Sonic Origins you'll probably find on sale. Chrono Cross, the Radical Dreamers Edition among several others. You might have that.
Probably get that Capcom Fighter Collection by mail because it was hard to find local retail here anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm actually kind of mildly interested in Gotham Knights. I need to see reviews first, though. IGN is less than reputable. I watched IGN's review. I've watched a couple of like just YouTuber type reviews who have been talking about it. Everything that I mentioned about it just before we went to break came from one of those videos. There was a lot of people who really wanted to like this, and there was a lot of people who tried their best not to compare it to the Arkham games. This does not take place in that world. this is not in that whole thing. Like, Suicide Squad takes place in the Arkhamverse, if you want to call it that. This does not take place in that world.
But still, how can you not?
It's tough to do. I know. It's very tough to do. So, ultimately, they were able to do that mostly, not making the comparisons, until you got out into the city, into Gotham and stuff, into the open world section. Mm-hmm. We know what can be done. It was done 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was done apparently better. There's also the traversal thing, and I don't mean to keep going harping on this, but like, it takes 90 minutes to 2 hours to unlock the main traversal. What's the word? Traversal ability of each one of the four characters. The thing that the main reviewer was going through when he was doing it was he unlocked it for Batgirl, which is her glide ability. Once that was unlocked, he's like, all right, good, I'm going to flip over. And he went over to Robin or Red Hood or Nightwing, I don't know, one of the others. And he thought, okay, but no, it's not unlocked for them. You got to do the same thing for them to unlock their main traversal thing. It's an open world, and it's tough to get around without that main traversal thing that the characters need. And again, which goes back to this whole live service issue that he's talking about.
You said main traversal. What's your alternate traversal? On foot?
Mostly that, or maybe a bike, you know, some type of vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Which the vehicles don't seem, I mean, in Gotham it was, or in Arkham Knight, it was easier to get around by doing my zipline stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Faster to do it that way than it was to get into the Batmobile and move around.
Mm-hmm.
I hated the Batmobile section. But there, that was it. The main traversal thing for all four characters is going to take 2 hours per character to do.
Is that how many characters we got?
Four.
Wow.
So about 8 hours just to unlock the base traversal for your character. Not to mention everything else. No, it doesn't sound good. And Super Game Sniper, please, by all means, go find those reviews, watch your reviews, make your own decision on that. Don't go by me. But yeah, I'm more interested on that getting a drop. In that, I would love to see Returnal drop. This is year number two, so I would love to see Returnal get a drop in price. I can finally get around to that.
Did Heavenly Sword drop?
No, it never did. There's a remake they should do. I would love to see that. I don't know. I don't know really what's on my list. Sonic Frontiers is getting released pretty soon. If that could drop, I would enjoy that.
Mm.
So maybe. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I bet Cult of the Lamb will get a drop, but we already have it. Scorn will probably get a price drop, I would imagine. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah. It's always interesting to see what's on sale and for how much.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Black Friday rolls.
Yeah, looking for the full prices that'll drop a good bit.
Yeah. Anything you're kind of interested in?
Not really. Nothing comes to mind right now.
Yeah.
Last thing I was looking forward to was golf. I haven't looked up for anything since.
But you got golf. Yeah. You got that.
Yeah, I got that. So the last thing I was looking forward to was golf.
And it's already out and you've got it. Yeah.
I already got it. So.
Think of anything else.
I haven't thought of anything else, really.
God of War comes out on the 9th, and it's a PlayStation game. I don't see that thing dropping because that's too soon for PlayStation. Like, mm-hmm. Third-party games, sure. Guardians of the Galaxy, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But something like God of War or, you know, any of those like first party title type things, maybe Horizon Forbidden West might get a little bit of a cut. Mm. The sequel that came out, you might see a little bit of a drop there. Maybe not, though. I mean, Returnal didn't even make Returnal didn't drop enough for me to pull the trigger on.
Right.
Last Black Friday. So I'm not expecting Horizon to have anything. So.
How much off was Returnal last year?
Maybe $10. It was 50 instead of 60.
No.
And I was like, nope.
No.
I said that game can go lower. That game can be 30 bucks.
Would 35 let you pull the trigger?
Yeah, 30, 35, I'd probably jump on that. Yeah.
Okay.
But see, that's the problem. It's been 2 years now. I don't know that I would jump on 30 or 35. I'm like, nope, should have been lower than that. Now, Horizon Forbidden West that came out in February, if that drops to 30 or 35, oh yeah, on top of it, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. But I don't know. It probably won't. Maybe some of those PC titles that they released might see some droppage. We'll see. Anyway, we got to run. That is going to do it for us. Thank you guys for listening so much. Don't forget to draw. I mean, I appreciate everybody who hung out in the chat room. If I didn't mention yet, Drunk Degenerates, hey, man, thanks for joining in on that. Thanks for everybody on Discord. And thanks for Chris and Biloxi Gambler that called in. We do appreciate it. Join us next week. We're going to do all of this over again the weekend before Halloween. So, yeah, I don't know what we'll do for that. But here is music from Minecraft. It is called Happy Halloween. RJ, I'll see you in 2 weeks, man. Yep. Have fun at AWA.
Yep.
Have fun at AWA. It sounds like wrestling, but it's not. Yeah, have you checked out Chainsaw Man?
The anime, yes.
Yeah, I've seen two episodes so far. Mm-hmm. But yep. Yeah. All right, see you guys later.